Find all your 4th of July needs at low prices. All in the Kroger app. Get USDA Choice bone-in tender ribeye steaks for $7.99 a pound with a digital coupon. Limit 5. Then buy 2, get 3 free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
A Factual Data Creation Facility production. Welcome to the OFNT Podcast, episode 211, which I'm calling April Showers Bring May iPads. In this very slow tech news week, that unfortunately is what the Apple Tech Press is running with currently. And due to the Easter holiday, tech news is slower than usual. Oh, which reminds me, happy Easter to those who celebrate this holiday. For those that don't, well, just have a great day. Well, my jaws are all warmed up now, so let's get them flapping.
Yes! Yes!
Tech news. Well, I guess that, quote, big, unquote, Apple iPad event that had the tech press so excited just a couple of weeks ago isn't happening. Aww. Tough luck, guys. Maybe next time. Apple has announced the dates for its annual Worldwide Developers Conference, and the dates are June 10th through the 14th. The first day will most likely see the announcement of iOS 18, iPadOS 18, macOS 15, watchOS 11, and tvOS 18, and visionOS 2. This time around, the tech press are making no lofty predictions on what hardware might be announced during this year's traditionally software-centric WWDC. Instead, they are predicting a huge emphasis on AI. Specifically, what AI will do for Apple's neglected digital assistant Siri. Yeah, the old gal can really use some help because in its current form, it's just about useless. I personally don't know of any iPhone users, including myself, who bother using Siri. You'd have to be a special kind of sheep to use Siri and claim that it's good. Supposedly, iOS 18 will bring a major update to the home screen of the phone. Allegedly, the largest update since the phone was introduced way back in 2007. I've heard this before, so seeing will be believing. I think besides iOS 18, a lot of the event will be dedicated towards the Vision Pro, Apple's product of the future, and Tim Cook's legacy product. Well, something needs to be done with that Vision Pro product. It's seldom mentioned even amongst the most aptly of the dedicated Apple tech press. I don't sense any excitement around the Vision Pro either. I know I don't even think of the Vision Pro unless I see something about it on YouTube. Usually those videos' subjects are about returning the contraption to Apple or regretting not returning the Vision Pro to Apple within the return time window, with a sprinkling of videos which claim that the Vision Pro is super easy to break.
What?
None of this is good news for the giant fruit company's so-called marquee product. As I've stated on this show upon first learning the details of the Vision Pro, it seems Apple is trying to create a computing market no one's asking for. And unfortunately for Apple, they're still not asking for it. When the price drops by more than half, then maybe, just maybe, people will start buying it. Now, if Apple could introduce an augmented reality set that looks and feels like a regular common set of glasses, or spectacles as our English cousins call them, then the company will be on to something. As far as the possible hardware that we might see announced during WWDC, well, perhaps an M3 chipped Mac Mini and maybe some new regular AirPods with noise cancellation. I think there is a slight chance for new USB-C equipped Magic Keyboards and Magic Mice if those products aren't introduced during some kind of event previous to WWDC. I'd really like to see backlit keys on that USB Magic Keyboard as well. What about those new iPad Pros everybody was led to believe were coming this month? If they're not announced with a digital event like the Scary Fast event that introduced the M3 MacBook Pros, well, we might see them at WWDC. I still feel that the M3 MacBook Pros were rushed out of the door because of Qualcomm's big chip announcements the preceding month. The iPad has no serious competition in the tablet market, so Apple can take their sweet time releasing them. The only thing I'm sort of excited about for this WWDC is we might finally get a usable Siri digital assistant. Who knows, maybe we'll all be surprised come June 10th, but I wouldn't hold my breath. TechRadar.com has the following headline. Apple tipped to launch new iPads in May. Well, here we go again. I guess after Apple suffered from a bunch of leaks a few years ago, they've cracked down on the leakers themselves. I say that because lately, these Apple tech pundits either get the dates of release wrong and or the new hardware specs and features wrong. The only real leaks we hear are controlled leaks from Apple themselves. This time, the tech press might be onto something because the latest info comes from Mark Gurman, leaker extraordinaire. Hey, whatever happened to Ming-Chi Kuo? Remember him?
No.
Well, wherever he is, I hope he's okay. The article regurgitates what we've already heard. New 12.9-inch M2-chipped iPad Air, M3-chipped iPad Pros with OLED screens, and a redesigned Magic Keyboard along with a new Apple Pencil. Will the new predicted early May release date prove true? I guess we'll find out when it does or doesn't happen. Another month, another major data breach.
What the hell?
The Associated Press reports that AT&T, the second largest cellular service provider in the United States, has started notifying millions of customers, past and present, about the theft of personal data that was recently discovered online. The personal data includes social security numbers, among other info. Well, let me translate this all for you. All of the past or present AT&T customers' account data was hacked sometime in the past and has been posted on the dark web for all criminals to see and use at their leisure. Just fantastic. You know, as long as there are no repercussions for these companies, this will keep happening over and over again. Why should these companies even bother to beef up the security of their networks if the only ones who suffer consequences are the customers? There really should be laws enacted that would penalize them for their carelessness. Yeah, like that's ever going to happen. In a story that really has not gotten any traction in the press, mainstream, or tech, VPNOverview.com reports that Facebook's now-defunct virtual private network, Unavo VPN, was used to spy on users, Snapchat, and Amazon. This was revealed by unsealed federal court documents last Tuesday. It appears that Unavo VPN was nothing but a malware container which intercepted users' data traffic using the classic man-in-the-middle attack to position itself between its users' and competitors' apps, allowing Facebook to decrypt and analyze encrypted traffic. It was also revealed that Facebook's CEO, Mark the Evil One, Zuckerberg, ordered this to be done back in 2016. That's because the guy's emails were included in the newly unsealed documents. I recall Zuckerberg threw some serious cash around swing states during the 2020 presidential election to ensure his guy won.
What am I doing here?
So as egregious as this intentional malware was, no major action will be taken against Zuckerberg and his company. Sure, we might see some sort of financial penalty imposed, but all that money will wind up going into the re-election campaign of you-know-who.
Come on, man.
Which will spare Zuckerberg having to spend election interference money overtly this time. This is just another reason to either delete Facebook and all of its related apps from your devices. I have, and I don't miss them at all. Tech I'm using. Well, all's well as far as tech goes at the old fart residence. I'm enjoying my MacBook Air, which I've recently come to kind of love. I'll be traveling to look at property to potentially relocate to in the coming weeks, and I figured I'd take the laptop with me. Unfortunately, with the ever-escalating crime situation throughout the nation,
come on, man,
I'm not going to chance it getting stolen from my vehicle or hotel room. Instead, I'll drag my humble 11-inch iPad Pro to fulfill my computing needs. I did this on my trip to Mount Vernon, Virginia last fall, and it worked well for me. My workflow goes something like this. I'll start a new project on my iPad, continue the bulk of it on my MacBook, continue it while I'm using my desktop Max Mini, finish it on either the laptop or desktop, and then edit on the iPad. Despite its smaller screen and supposedly inferior keyboard, I find editing quicker and easier on the old iPad Pro. Go figure. All future tech purchases are on hold until I complete my move from New York to my new abode, wherever that will wind up being. I've got my eye on a pair of full-size HomePods, the new 12.9-inch iPad Air for my lovely wife, the Apple Watch Series 10 for both of us, an AirPods Pro 3rd generation. Oh, also a larger monitor for my desktop and maybe a Peloton indoor cycle. Oh, and a larger, better quality television. My current LG 65-inch television is getting long in the tooth, as the kids are wont to say.
No!
I'm all set in regards to cellular phones and computing devices for the next few years. Well, hopefully. There is one problem I'm experiencing with tech, and that's my internet. For some reason, around 10 o'clock in the evening, I suffer an internet outage which lasts about 5 minutes. The cause of this is not on my end, and my internet provider just can't explain this problem. If I do find a place to move to on my upcoming trip, I'll just ride this problem out. If I'm not successful in finding a new abode, I'll consider a new provider.
Find all your 4th of July needs at low prices, all in the Kroger app.
Get USDA Choice bone-in tender ribeye steaks for $7.99 a pound with a digital coupon. Limit 5, then buy 2, get 3 free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up.
Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Entertainment news. I managed to finish season 2 of the Paramount Plus series Halo. I enjoyed this season more than the last, but I noticed something different in one of the characters' appearance this year. At first I thought I was imagining things, but later found out that I really wasn't. As you know, Halo is based on Microsoft's Xbox video game that came out in what my son surely considers as being the day. Most fans of the video game don't like the series because it doesn't follow the plot of the original Halo game franchise. Having never played the game, I don't know what the original plot was, and I really don't care. I find the show entertaining and well-written, at least when compared to other modern shows. And this is the part where I'll tie it all into what's called Gamergate 2.
Okay.
Well, things leaked from Microsoft Xbox division this week. It seems the game division has gotten all aboard the DEI train by releasing a guide to all its affiliated game studios, including the one responsible for Halo, which is 343 Studios. Besides the usual garbage seen in most companies' DEI initiatives, the guide also suggests hiring Sweet Baby Inc. or some other consultancy grift organization. Another suggestion is to make female characters more androgynous, i.e. less female. Well, the Halo television series is following these suggestions, at least for one of the characters, and that character would be Cortana, the artificial intelligence assistant for the main character. I don't know what the original Cortana looked like, but in the last season of the show, she was portrayed as a pretty good-looking woman wearing a form-fitting one-piece jumpsuit. She wasn't kitted out with huge breasts and buttocks or exaggerated hips, but you could tell she was a woman. Her face had a glow to it, and her features were soft. This season, her breasts and buttocks were reduced, and her face appears to have been uglified. The glow is gone. Her skin tone is slightly off. Her nose is bigger, and her mouth wears sort of a scowl. I have to ask, why is this uglification even necessary? It wasn't if Cortana was portrayed as some bombshell. Previously, I presume this is the work of a Sweet Baby Inc. or one of its competitors. Now, personally, I love women. I consider most as being beautiful, and that's how I know there's a God. There is nothing on this earth that looks as beautiful as a woman's form, to me anyway. So why do we have to denigrate, if I'm using that word correctly, their appearance by these new portrayals of them? Perhaps these radical communists, which have seemed to have infiltrated all parts of our Western society, feel they've already destroyed men, especially those of European descent, that they have shifted their target towards women. That would explain the trans women in sports thing, now wouldn't it?
Yes.
The ironic thing about this whole situation is that the war on men and women is led by highly educated women of European descent. You know the type I'm referring to. I'm just waiting for the pendulum to swing in the opposite direction. With things like Gamergate 2.0, I think we're beginning to see the start of that swing. The Hulu streaming service has officially merged with the Disney Plus streaming service. This comes after Disney bought out the other stakeholders in Hulu sometime last year. I guess we'll see some price increases coming our way.
Yes.
Disney will offer you a bundle deal of Hulu and Disney Plus so you can activate right within the Disney Plus app.
Yay!
Hey, lucky us. This bundle will set you back $10 a month for the ad-supported 1080p resolution version and $20 for the ad-free 4K version. Well, I'm sure some people will take the woke mouse offer, but I won't be. I tried out Disney Plus back when The Mandalorian's first season dropped, but I canceled it mid-season when the wheels started coming off the show. I no longer have any young children in my house, so Disney's back catalog has nothing to offer me. The new stuff is just unentertaining garbage, especially that Marvel stuff. Podcast news. Adobe has announced a new product called Podcast Studio. It's currently in beta testing, so yours truly has signed up to participate in said testing. The service seems to build on the company's popular speech enhancer, which removes noise and reverb from audio. It has a mic check feature and an editing package. All recording and editing is done from a web browser, so there's that. You edit like you would using Descript, which transcribes your audio and lets you edit by deleting or adding audio by using the program like a word processor. I'm curious how this will all work. I'm currently on a waiting list in order to start using Adobe Podcast Studio. No, I'm not going to change the way I record my podcast currently. I feel this Adobe product would be convenient to use while on the road, as there is no software to download or CPU usage involved, so all I'll need besides my laptop is a small audio interface and, of course, a microphone. If I had a USB type mic, I wouldn't even need the interface. You know, there's some really great USB mics out there these days.
Uh-oh.
Nah, the one who must be obeyed wouldn't go for me purchasing one. Unless... Once I get access to Adobe Podcast Studio, I'll let you know how good or bad it functions. The third annual Ambies Award Show was held last Tuesday. The coveted Ambie is awarded by the Podcast Academy to various segments, just like those other award shows Hollywood puts on, which are rapidly declining in viewership by the general public. The Ambies aren't immune to this decline either. At the height of the stream, which was hosted on the organization's YouTube channel, there were only 555 viewers. During the Podcast of the Year award, that number had dropped to 334. The lowest tally of viewers happened just before that, with only 303 people watching. Yeah, I kept up with these numbers because it was more interesting to me than the actual award ceremony itself. Last year's Ambies, which was streamed on Twitch, managed to have over 1,000 viewers in a lively live chat room. This year's show chat room had... not as many, maybe 100 comments over 90 minutes the show lasted. Perhaps 100 comments is an overestimation. Yeah, it was that bad. Both of the show's paid-for nominations were unknown money-back shows. The only ones I recognized were the usual New York Times, Washington Post, and National Public Radio-hosted shows. The others were Wondery, Odyssey, and other sponsored shows. The big winner was a show called Wait For It, which was billed as an independent podcast, but upon further research, I discovered it's a product of PRX, which stands for Public Radio Exchange. PRX was spun off by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, which is the umbrella organization for NPR and PBS, amongst other taxpayer-augmented media. PRX was formed in 2003 and is funded by grants and donations. I'll bet a lot of PRX's funds come from non-governmental agencies, NGOs, who are mostly funded by the government with your tax dollars. I'm lazy, so I didn't do a deep dive on them. The way it works is you put in an application to be funded by PRX, and if deemed worthy, they'll provide you with studio time, scriptwriters, engineers, and editors. I don't consider PRX podcasts as really independent. A new category was added this year called the DIY category. DIY, of course, stands for Do It Yourself. This is the truly independent category. No help from public or private companies. The majority of podcasts are produced this way. The winner was Stitch Please, so congratulations to the host, who didn't bother showing up for the award. That was a recurring theme with this year's Ambies. A lot of the awardees didn't show up to accept their trophies, not even bothering to record an acceptance video like in years past. Hey, that's telling you something, isn't it?
Yes.
I get the sense that the Podcast Academy is bleeding members because throughout the event, they were begging for people to join. Heck, they even displayed a code to scan for a 20% discount for a new membership. The entire board of the Podcast Academy, which these days is made up of mostly podcasting incorporated company executives, got up on stage for a speech at one point, again begging for people to join the Podcast Academy. When this outfit first formed, they promised to include the independent podcast community and had a few members that were independent OG podcasters, but quickly jettisoned them after the first year. I'm sure almost all of the pioneers of podcasting who had joined their first year have since dropped out. Slow Burn was crowned as Podcast of the Year, which was produced by Slate, which I erroneously reported as having ceased releasing podcasts in 2023. Well, I was only partially wrong, as Slate recently announced Season 9 of Slow Burn, which has just started releasing shows in February of this year. The only Ambie Award-winning podcast that I've ever listened to was Darknet Diaries, which has won the Best Interview category 3 years in a row now. I haven't listened to Darknet Diaries for a long time now, haven't gotten bored of it. It's not a bad podcast, but it sort of gets repetitive. There were some good things about the Ambies this year. The host, a drag queen named Trixie Mattel, was professional and kept the show moving along. I don't know about you, but I kind of find drag queens look sort of scary. Maybe it's just my old fart mentality getting in the way. I was intending to watch the Ambies replay, but opted to watch it live because my lovely wife was watching the last episode of The Bachelor, and I just couldn't bring myself to sit through that show. This next item, or rant, could have been in the entertainment section of this episode, but it concerns microphones and audio recording software and equipment.
Oh, yeah.
I have a question for you. Do you listen to National Public Radio?
No.
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 Well, neither do I, but I do listen to the No Agenda podcast, which uses clips from them. Besides being the mouthpiece for the Democratic Party and espousing leftist views on everything without any counterbalances, their audio is horrible. Now, I've brought this up in previous episodes, but the listener is subjected to a high level of hissing and a large volume of mouth clicks. The lower audio frequencies are chopped off, so what you wind up with is audio that sounds as if you're listening to a snake that can speak English, salivating at the same time. This is really apparent while listening via headphones. Is the not-for-profit, partially funded by taxpayer money, NPR using inferior equipment because of budget problems?
I don't know.
Well, per an interview with the director of audio engineering over at NPR, this is from back in 2015, their studios are equipped with Neumann U87s with Neumann shock mounts. Well, U87s with shock mounts go for the bargain price of $3,695 each on Amazon.
Wow.
I'm sure these mics are connected to a UA Apollo interface, which starts at $4,000 using the best Mogami Gold XLR cables. This engineer also admits to using the mic's high-pass filter to roll off the bass frequencies. That might work well for deep-voiced males, but when you put an excited, high-pitched female voice in front of that mic, the audio can give you a headache if you listen long enough. You know, all NPR would have to do in order to fix these problems is to purchase a few audio plugins. Waves Audio offers a de-esser plugin for a mere $30, while Isotope Audio has a bundle for around over $100 that includes a mouth declicker. Forget using that high-pass filter for the deep-voiced male presenters, which are becoming rare on NPR anyway. Waves Audio has a free plugin called Silk, which would clean up any low rumbling in the audio. Now, I'm sure the head audio engineer over there at NPR is paid very well. Yeah, I don't think they're getting their money's worth. Compare NPR's practices to the British Broadcasting Corporation, the good old BBC. Yeah, I know they've been infected with the same leftist nonsense that NPR regurgitates, and this started at the beginning of the war in Iraq, but the BBC's audio is infinitely easier on a listener's ears. The old Beeb uses a variety of microphones, depending on the studio and presenter. They primarily use the Neumann BCM705, which goes for a more reasonable $730 on Amazon, though the expensive U87 is starting to show up in some BBC studios. When I listen to the BBC, which I have to admit isn't very often these days, the audio is so soothing, I could probably fall asleep listening to it. I hear no distracting sibilants or mouth clicks, which are all too present on NPR audio. Occasionally I'll hear a female presenter's breath, but that's the exception. I sure hope the head of the BBC's audio engineering outfit is well compensated. The music is playing as this episode ends, while I await my lovely wife's return from New Jersey. No home-cooked Easter dinner for this kid. Ah, well. So, happy Easter to you. I hope the Easter Bunny was kind to you this year. I also hope that you enjoyed this episode, because I enjoyed making it for you. If you like what you heard, you can make a donation using the link in the show notes. Any and all donations will be greatly appreciated. You know, you can always reach me at ofntpodcast@gmail.com, and that's only if you're so inclined. I'd enjoy hearing from you. Remember, don't listen to what they say. Just watch what they do. All the Easter eggs have been found, and it looks as if we might be in for a little bit of rain. So before you possibly get rained on, get off my lawn. Stay skeptical. I'm out.
See ya.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Find all your 4th of July needs at low prices, all in the Kroger app. Get USDA Choice bone-in tender ribeye steaks for $7.99 a pound with a digital coupon. Limit 5, then buy 2, get 3 free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.